God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. Okay, good. Recording's on. It's July 17th. So mathematically, we're in the second half of the year, so this year's over, right? Not that I want to rush things through, but kind of amazing the way time passes, and God tells us it's going to. I've heard that as you get older, it seems time passes faster, and I'm starting to see that. I want to talk this morning about new life. Having a new life, living a new life, with a constant expectation of God's grace and mercy in this new life that we have. In John 3, beginning with verse 3, Nicodemus had come by night, came to talk to Jesus, and said, "Rabbi, we know you are come from God, because no one can do the things that you've done unless God is with him." And as he goes on, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Nicodemus was a Pharisee, was a teacher of the Jews, was very fluent in the Scripture. He knew what the Word of God said. Jesus said, "Knowing it isn't enough. It's got to be part of you. You must be born again. You must recognize that we have to turn our lives over to the Lord." So even a religious leader was not exempt from having to come and seek the face of God. Was not exempt from having to come and lay down the old life and pick up the new life. To seek and be born again. As we go through modern society, I don't know if you've encountered this before. It was like, "Are you one of them there born again Christians?" Like, is there another kind? I don't get it. And Jesus said, "Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God." Cannot even see the kingdom of God unless we're born again. Unless God does a work in our hearts and in our lives, none of this stuff makes sense. Scripture says that. Paul, talking, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, talking about being carnally minded as death, but be spiritually minded as life and peace. Said, the things that the carnal mind is at enmity with God, and it's an adversary of God, because it cannot understand the things of God. God had to change my thinking, had to change your thinking, so we could even understand what the Scripture says. When we read through the Scripture, if the Holy Spirit is not illuminating what's going on, it's just words on a page. Yet the Spirit of God, the Word of God is life and is bread and is food for us. But it's after God has started to work in our lives. He who began the good work is faithful to complete it. God is the one who's going to be able to bring it through. Having this new life, I praise God I'm not the person that I used to be. Because I was pretty messed up. Don't get me wrong. I'm messed up, but I was messed up. I was in bad shape. But God, even this teacher of the Jews, even this religious leader, Jesus said, "You must be born again. You have to have that change. You have to have a new life. You can't be just the way that you are." In 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 14, Paul tells us, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Stop right there for just a moment. Paul says that when we recognize that Jesus died, took the penalty for me, took the penalty for you, that the life that I now have has been bought with a price. The life that I have, the life that I live, should be lived giving honor to him. The way I conduct myself, all of this should be in such a way that it brings glory to the God who delivered me, who brought me out of darkness, who touched and changed my life, who set me free, who gave me life that I can't lose. Jim Elliot, a missionary who was martyred, had said, one of his quotes is, "He is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." I can't keep my life. I have no control over how many breaths I get a day. You know, I have no control over that. But I've committed my life to the Lord, and he is the one who keeps me in the palm of his hands. He is the one who directs me, that no matter what comes, his grace will see me through. Until such time as he's done with me, all of my days are written in the book. He knows the day of my death. I don't. And when that day comes, I'm still in his hands. And I recognize that, and recognizing that, I no longer have to fear. I no longer have to be concerned. I no longer have to get offended when people do things that I know they shouldn't. Because I have no control over it. But I trust that God is at work. Continuing on, verse 16. "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." Stop right there for just a minute. How many times do we look and look at somebody and make assumptions and make judgments that I'm guilty? You know? Make evaluations based on appearances without getting to know them. Paul says, We regard no one according to the flesh. Lord, help me. Help me. "Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." The thing we're called to do is to point people to God. That ministry of reconciliation. Let me tell you of a great and wondrous God who loved me so much that he didn't let me stay where I was. Who loved me so much, he tugged at my heart until I gave up and sought his face, and he changed me and made me whole. And he's changing me and making me righteous. He's working in me each and every day to be more and more and more like Jesus. Let me tell you about a God like that. That's each of us. The ministry that we've been given is the ministry of reconciliation. To point the world to Jesus. Jesus said, "No one can come to me except my Father draw them." God is drawing them by sending his people, us, to be his hands and feet extended. To be the mouth willing to open, to share his word. To be the one willing to be an example and willing to reach out and encourage people. To make relationships with people. To come alongside and encourage people. All the time pointing the way to God. All the time living a life before them so that they can see that God truly touches and changes lives. That they can see that we're not perfect, but we are repentant. We are not perfect, but we are seeking his face. Living that new life, again, as we read back in, early on in this passage, back up in verse 15, that we recognize that if he died for one, then all were dead. And the life that we live because of him. And that should be flowing through us as we reach out to the people around us. Living the new life, showing God's grace to the people we encounter. Because I don't know about you, but people that knew me before and know me now, like, yep, there's a God in heaven. Absolutely, that can no longer deny. It's one thing to think there's a God up there far off that really doesn't care. It's something else to see somebody whose life has been transformed and you knew their old life and you see their new life and you recognize that God truly is in the business of touching and changing lives. He truly is in the business of healing, of leading, of setting people free. Praise God. Romans 6, beginning with verse 4. Still talking about Jesus dying for us, that He died that when we all died, then all were dead. Romans 6, beginning with verse 4, says, "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism unto death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Recognizing what God has brought us from and walking in that grace and mercy, walking in that triumphant testimony of a God who heals, who saves, who sets free. Verse 5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall also live with Him." Recognizing that the life that we have is because of God. The life that we have is because of the sacrifice Jesus made on my behalf. He laid down His life. Jesus said, "No one takes my life from it. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I can take it up again." Did it on purpose. In the garden, remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is praying, "Father, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me." But before that, He said, "What shall I say? Lord, save me from this hour? It is for this purpose that I came to this hour." He knew what the path was. He knew what the destiny was. He knew what was required, and He willingly did it. Didn't mean it wasn't a stressful time. Says, as He prayed, His sweat fell like great drops of blood. That's praying. It doesn't say great drops of blood fell out. It said His sweat was like great drops of blood. Thick, heavy, pouring out, crying out to God, "If there is another way, nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done." Do we pray that for our lives? "Lord, this is what I would want, but nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. Lord, let my life be a reflection of Your grace. Let my life be a reflection of Your mercy. Let my life make an impact in the lives of others because of what You're doing in me. Let me walk in that newness of life, that it's a change from everything I have ever known, a change from everything around me. That my life reflects Your grace, that my life reflects Your love. Lord, help me. Help each of us, Father." Romans 8, beginning with verse 10, says, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit which dwells in you." That newness of life, the Holy Spirit inside of us, brings life, brings peace, brings hope, brings health, brings encouragement. Gives us the power to face whatever comes. Scripture tells us that God will not allow us to be tempted more than we're able to bear, but that with every temptation provides the way of escape. So many people misquote that. They say, "God won't give you more than you can handle." That's wrong. But in everything God does, He is with us. We are never alone. And as we cry out to the Lord, God gives us strength. God gives us grace. But that's talking about temptations and testings that come along. He says He won't allow you to be tempted more than you're able to bear. But with every temptation provides the way of escape. So often the way of escape is to get up and get out. And seek His face to draw close to Him. Joseph, down in Potiphar's house, minding his own business, trying to be a good steward of the household, being a man of integrity. And Potiphar's wife came in with a plan. And he got out of there and left his cloak behind and still got falsely accused and went on to prison. Yet even in that, God was at work in him. God was giving him, making contacts and giving him grace and giving him experience. Again, he got placed in charge of the prison. He was the only one above him was the jailer. He was the one kind of directing how things went. that experience that God later used as he became the second in command of Egypt. None of that would have happened if his brothers hadn't thrown him in jail, or their brothers hadn't sold him into slavery. None of that would have happened if Potiphar's wife hadn't falsely accused him. None of that would have happened had he not been where he was, and God directed the steps the whole time. Guess what? You will go through situations in your life that are unpleasant. I guarantee it. In this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus said that. We will go through things in this life that are unpleasant, that are painful, that are difficult. But that does not change the fact that we have a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. A God who doesn't waste a single tear, doesn't waste a single ache. Scripture says, our tears are stored in a bottle. And he opens them up as a sweet savor of incense. He even saves our tears. He's paying attention to everything that goes on in our lives and shows us his grace and his love and his mercy, and it directs us through the things. And he who began the good work is faithful to complete it. God who started working on me is not finished. I am still drawing breath. My face does not yet shine so that I have to put on a veil like Moses did after coming down from the mountain from spending time with God. Yet God is still at work in each of us to lead us and to keep us and to guide us. 2 Peter 1, beginning with verse 2. So we've heard from Paul, let's hear from Peter. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has given us everything we need, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has equipped us. Praise God. He's given us the tools. He's given us what we need. No matter what the situation is, he has equipped us and he is working in us and he's called us to draw close to him. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have also been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. God's paying attention. God's working in our lives and calling us and drawing us. That new life that he's given us, that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God, I am not alone. I am bought with a price. Jesus paid the price for my salvation, paid the price for your salvation. The life that I have is his. The life that each of us has is his. He paid for it. And his graciousness, his mercy, he reaches out to us. Lamentations 3, beginning with verse 22. Prophet Jeremiah reminds us of something. He says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Praise God. I sometimes get people upset with me. I tell them everything short of burning in hell is the tender mercies of God, because that's what I deserve. The fact that I am not burning in hell right now means there's the God that loves me, that redeemed my life from destruction. I should have been dead. Most of you have heard this. There's been many times I should have been dead, but I'm here. Many times I should have been crippled, but I can stand. I can walk. God had a plan, a purpose for my life. He hasn't wasted anything and continue to work in us. It is through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Lord, guide me. Lord, keep me. Lord, fulfill your word in my life. Fulfill your promise in my life. God, lead and direct me, Father. But it says here in Lamentations, it is good that we should give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, again says that. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Do we praise God daily for what He does in our lives? Do we praise Him regularly? God has been so good to me. He has been so good to me. He has redeemed my life from destruction. Praise God. Absolutely want to... Not discounting that at all. But He has also poured out His blessings upon me. He continues to show Himself faithful in my life. He continues to lead and direct. And it's good that we should sing praises to the Lord, living out that new life, giving praise and glory and thanks to Him, because He is the one who has brought us through it. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, let now Israel say, when the enemy come like a flood, they would have destroyed us. If it hadn't been God for protecting us, we wouldn't be here. None of us would be here this morning. Because there's always something that comes up for no other reason than because we had, 50 years of Roe versus Wade. There's a generation that is not with us. Yet God has been merciful and God has been gracious. God has kept us. Final scriptures, Jude verses 24 and 25. As you know, Jude only has one chapter. So, a reminder, after having just seen in Lamentations about the mercy and compassion of the Lord, how we've just seen in Psalms that it's good to give thanks to Him. Jude says, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before His presence, before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God is faithful. God is loving. God is kind. God is gracious. God is righteous. God is holy. And God calls us to walk in newness of life, that the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us, imparting to us His righteousness, that we don't stand before a holy God clothed in our own righteousness, which is completely inadequate. Filthy rags, the Scripture says. But we stand in the righteousness of God. He has called us and made us to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus through His holiness, through His grace, through His mercy in that new life. New life that Jesus told Nicodemus about. You can't just do it on your own. It takes an impartation. It takes a gift of God. It takes God working in us and recognizing His love, His grace, His mercy. And we are each called to walk in that new life. We are each called to walk in that in holiness and righteousness, recognizing that everything we have is a gift from God. All that we are is a gift from God. The very breath that we breathe is because of His grace, because He is not yet finished with us. And He's called us to be a light to this generation, a light to these people, a light to the people we encounter. So praise God. Father, we do thank You, Lord, that You have called us into a new life, that You have called us, Father, to put away the old things, that we are crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless we live, yet not I, but Christ that lives within me. So we praise You for that. Thank You, Lord, for this newness of life. Thank You, Father, for Your grace and mercy. Thank You, Lord, that You are the one who can keep us from falling. And we give praise. We give honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.